and welcome to this month's Life Notes, which move you one book closer to living 12 Category Smart. This is Jessie Colhagen, and you're listening to the Life Note, Mindless Eating, by Brian Wansink, and summarized by Marcia Joseph. As always, we'll begin with a quote. For many of us, as long as there are a few milk-soaked Fruit Loops left in the bottom of the cereal bowl, there is still work to be done. It doesn't matter if we're full, and it doesn't matter if we don't even really like Fruit Loops. We eat as if it's our mission to finish them. End quote. The book Mindless Eating exposes our propensity to eat without really being aware of whether we're hungry or not, how much we eat, and other aspects of our eating behaviors. If you've ever found yourself staring at a half-empty bag of chips and not knowing exactly how it got that way, you'll love this insightful book. Author Brian Wansink, food psychologist and director of the Cornell University Food and Brand Lab, leverages his research from over 250 studies to shine an important light on how people eat. In this Life Note, we'll review thoughts on the impact of mindless eating, supersizing, health halos, the role of nutritional gatekeepers, and how you can use this information to eat more mindfully. We'll begin with the first big thought: mindless eating scripts, automatic patterns and contributors. Quote, when we eat, we often follow eating scripts. We encounter some food situations so frequently that we develop automatic patterns or habitual behaviors to navigate them. End quote. Mindless eating is tricky. One minute there's a bag of M&Ms next to you, and the next minute, somehow it's empty. Just what is it that would make you eat when you're not hungry, or eat more than you normally would? Brian Wansink helpfully shed some light on this bad habit by explaining what he calls mindless eating scripts. These are habitual behaviors that we may not even notice. For example, quote, breakfast, open newspaper, refill breakfast bowl, and eat until finished with paper. Dinner, finish eating food on plate, take additional helpings until others are done, end quote. What are your scripts? Do you automatically order a big bucket of popcorn at the movies, even if you've just had dinner? Or do you naturally finish the last slice of pizza because, well, who wants to leave just one lonely slice in that big pizza box, right? How silly that would look. You'll find a number of interesting triggers and situations that lead to mindless eating in the book. For example, television has an impact, as does eating with family and friends. Brian shares this interesting fact: the less TV people watch, the skinnier they are. What a great reason to turn the TV off, right? Take a moment to write down some of your common scripts. What triggers you to eat mindlessly? Perhaps go through a typical day in your mind. Do you mindlessly order a scone every time you walk into Starbucks? Or do you down a giant order of chicken wings every time you go to your favorite sports bar? Are there people who are particular triggers for you? Does all the chocolate in the house seem to disappear immediately after you have a phone call with your mother? Or perhaps visiting with family always leads to junk food binges and too much drinking. Consider creating a page in the health and fitness section of your life book that lists your common mindless eating scripts and then outlining new, healthier scripts to substitute. Try bringing a piece of fruit or some sparkling water every time you go to the movie theater, sneakily, of course. Or contribute a beautiful salad to family dinners so you know there's at least one nutrient-rich option you can enjoy. By eating mindfully rather than mindlessly, you're going to have a much easier time achieving that vision of health and fitness that you've so carefully created. Forgotten food, the bottomless soup bowl. Quote, we believe our eyes, not our stomach. End quote. One of the great aspects of the Mindless Eating book is that it's peppered with fascinating examples of mindless eating research. One favorite is the bottomless soup bowl study. You'll want to read the details in the book, but the gist of it is this. Brian and his colleagues recruited 60-plus people to have a soup lunch. They rigged up special bowls that kept slowly refilling as the study participants ate without their knowing this was happening. Some of the participants had these special bowls and others had normal bowls. Those with refillable bowls ate 73% more. Plus, they were completely off base when estimating how much they actually ate. This study illustrates that people often use visual cues rather than true hunger to determine how much they should eat. When their soup bowls just kept refilling, they didn't have the visual cue to tell them to stop, so they just kept eating. Brian says, quote, "Most of us actually decide how much to eat before we put any food in our mouths. We eyeball how much we think we want, dish it out, and then eat until it's gone," end quote. For this very reason, the supersizing of portions, whether purchased in the grocery store or when getting served a jumbo-sized helping in a restaurant, is not helpful for many people. It can seem easier just to eat whatever it is that is served to you, rather than go through the trouble of bagging up the leftovers to take home. It can seem normal to eat 4 cups of pasta in a restaurant simply because they present it to you as one serving. Don't be fooled. Don't be like the soup eaters who just kept going and going and going. Realize that paying attention to hunger, rather than just visual cues of whether your plate has food on it or not, will be very helpful to you in the long run. Serving size impact. Supersized portions equals supersized people. Quote, "For many of the breakfast, lunch, and dinner foods we've studied, the result is about the same. People eat 20 to 25% more on average from the larger packages. For snack foods, it's even worse." End quote. Let's face it, Americans are getting bigger and bigger. And as our fast food chain restaurants and bad eating habits spread globally, many other countries are starting to follow our unfortunate lead. There are many reasons for these sad trends, but let's focus on one of them for now, which is the supersizing of our food portions. As we just learned, people believe their eyes and not their stomach. So when we have a supersized portion in front of us, we tend to eat the whole thing. Who do you know who ever ate half of a McDonald's Big Mac and saved the rest for later? That would likely be no one, ever. In addition to supersized meals in restaurants, our supermarkets are also offering more jumbo packages to us. We seem to be buying a lot of party packs, even when there's no party. Brian explains that big packages suggest a consumption norm. In other words, an amount that is appropriate to eat. People simply do not pay attention to serving sizes for the most part. Quote, "If one serving of Cheetos is 28 grams, who knows how much that is?" End quote. There are some useful tips in the book for how to arm yourself against all of this supersizing, and you'll want to check those out. One good one is, if you do order a supersized meal because it's a good value, split it in two and share it with someone else. For snacks that you purchase, consider buying the individual portion-sized snacks or portion them yourself into smaller bags. Check out more great ideas in the book so you can bring more mindfulness to your automatic eating habits. Health halos. The subway effect. Quote, "We typically don't want to spend much time reading labels or thinking about them. Instead, we come up with a general idea about whether the product is good for us, and everything follows from that." End quote. When it comes to figuring out which food is healthy and which is not, it seems to be getting more and more tricky, doesn't it? One phenomenon related to this topic is what Brian calls health halos. Essentially, consumers believe that a product is healthier than it really is based on the inclusion of a certain claim on the package. For example, if a label says low fat, one might think that the product is a healthy choice, when in fact the ingredients don't resemble anything you should be putting in your body. His study of Subway restaurant is an interesting one. Subway advertises a number of sandwiches having less than 6 grams of fat. What Brian and his colleague found in interviewing people after they had eaten lunch at Subway was that many of them incorrectly calculated how many calories they had eaten. They were low, by 34% on average. Brian also shared that, quote, "those eating at Subway ate under the illusion that everything they touched was good for them," end quote. In other words, there was a halo overall for Subway. Never mind the cookies, chips, and soft drinks that people conveniently ignored, the fact that Subway had some low-fat sandwiches created a positive halo effect. There are some really interesting facts in the Mindless Eating book about how we as consumers react to nutrition labels and health claims, and the truth is, we are often fooled. Brian explained that we have a black and white view, that we consider food to be good or not good. So we might put low-fat cookies in the good column, when in fact, they really should belong in the not good column. If we're looking for an excuse to eat, low-fat labels give it to us, Brian concludes. Be diligent about your own nutrition education and label reading. Don't be fooled with language that might give you the impression that something is healthy when it's really something you ought to leave right there on the shelf. Nutritional gatekeepers. Overweight parents lead to overweight children. Quote, the biggest food influence in our life is the nutritional gatekeeper. This is the person in our home who does the most food shopping and meal preparation. Regardless of whether they're a good cook or whether they're culinarily challenged, they have a huge day-to-day influence on their family's nutrition. End quote. It may not come as a surprise to you to learn that parents have a large impact on the eating habits of their children, particularly the person who's considered the nutritional gatekeeper. But the statistics might surprise you. One survey of experts estimated that the gatekeeper controlled 72% of the food decisions of their children and spouse. One of the problems is when the gatekeeper is overweight, this tends to greatly influence the children to become overweight as well. A study of 854 Washington State children under 3 years old showed that a child is nearly three times as likely to grow up obese if one of his parents is obese. If you're overweight, your child has a 65 to 75% chance of growing up to be overweight. End quote. Yikes, that's alarming, isn't it? If you're a parent and need a good reason why to lose weight in your life book, you might put those facts and figures in there, perhaps with a few exclamation points thrown in for good measure. The good news is you can also create some wonderful strategies to be a healthy nutritional gatekeeper for your family. There are some fantastic ideas in the Mindless Eating book for how to do this. One favorite is telling young kids that broccoli is really a dinosaur tree. Bring some magic to the experience of eating. If you're single and not a nutritional gatekeeper for kids, don't forget to be a gatekeeper for yourself. If sweets or salty snacks are problematic for you and you find them hard to resist, don't even bring them into your house. Why set yourself up for failure? Have a beautiful bowl of fresh fruit handy instead. How to eat more mindfully. Tips and tricks. Quote, we may not be able to outlaw every drive-through restaurant or tax every pint of ice cream in our community, but we can re-engineer our personal food environment to help us and our families eat better. End quote. Okay, now that we've had a sneak peek at some of the tricks that our own minds play on us, as well as triggers from food companies, restaurants, people in our lives, and more, what the heck can we do to defend ourselves and to eat more mindfully? Brian has helpfully included suggestions in each of the chapters in Mindless Eating to outline some of the ways you can make adjustments in your eating environments and in your own habits. Let's take a look at two of our favorite suggestions, food trade-offs and food policies. Quote, food trade-offs state, I can eat X if I do Y. For example, I can eat dessert if I've worked out. I can have chips if I don't have a morning snack. End quote. What's nice about food trade-offs is that we don't have to deny ourselves a food we love. We simply know that if we want the dessert, we need to first go to the gym. Food policies are essentially rules that you stick to, such as no bagels on weekdays. Rather than wasting your mental energy debating whether you should eat that bagel today or not, you can just simply remember that today is a weekday, so no bagels for you. Meatless Monday is another food policy you can try if you're inclined to eat less meat. These are both great strategies that would be well worth considering. Now it's time to give this some thought in your own life. How can you re-engineer your environment to encourage more mindful eating? Can you commit to always having some fresh cut-up vegetables front and center in your refrigerator so that healthy snacking is super convenient? Can you reserve your favorite treats for weekends only? Perhaps set the intention to finish eating when you feel as though you've reached about 80% of your capacity, knowing that it takes a few minutes for your stomach to settle and tell your brain that it's full. Simply bringing more mindfulness to your own physical and mental eating habits while eating can be an incredibly enlightening experience. In our modern environment, full of landmines on our path to health and fitness, we must take charge. We must no longer be willing to step on those landmines. We're simply too conscious and too committed for that. Utilize this fascinating book with all of its fact-based research about mindless eating to arm yourself with the right tricks and tools to be successful on your path to optimal wellness. So there we have it, Brian Wansink's enlightening look at how we can learn to eat more mindfully and improve our health and well-being. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to sharing with you again soon. And until next time, here's to moving one book closer to living 12 Category Smart.